Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. It's the Christmas season around the world, so it's time for music. And today we're having an article about music, so stay tuned. We're glad you joined all of us here in advanced class these few days before Christmas. We have some of your favorite panelists with us here today. We have
Bill,
Linda,
and Nathaniel,
and Doris. So we're going to talk about music, and I hope Bill won't start singing any music, but sometimes he does. Is that right, Bill?
I just might start sometime through this article, start singing,
Bill,
Doris.
Bill loves music, too. But you like music, too, don't you, Linda?
Love it.
And Nathaniel's a pretty good singer, too.
Oh, I better not. I better say no comment on that one.
Okay.
Stay humble.
You know, it is just before Christmas, and so many people all over the world are doing their last-minute Christmas shopping. And sometimes they'll buy things like, you know, CDs or something for people's presents for Christmas, won't they?
Right. I like to give CDs, especially if I know somebody's looking for that particular group or that particular song.
Yeah, that's a good idea for a gift, to give CDs. And, you know, especially now, too, Christmas season, it's always great to give somebody a nice Christmas CD before the holidays. There's always new ones coming out with a new sound to them.
Right. And, of course, everybody's listening to a lot of Christmas music, and we might hear some later on. But today is, of course, just the 23rd. So we're going to look at our lesson on page 34. And we're going to find out about two different musical groups the next few days. And they're from different parts or opposite sides of the world, aren't they, Bill?
Yes. First, we're talking about a singing group in Seattle, your hometown, Doris. And then later, we're going to be talking about a group that's based right here near Taipei.
And also, we have the photos of these groups right here on page 34. And they look very different, don't they?
Yeah, I would say they do look very different, but they both look very happy to be doing what they're doing in those pictures, I'd say.
That's right, and you can see the difference in age and the different composition of the groups. One group is all women, and the other group has a couple of guys in it.
Well, and one group is Americans, and the other group is are what we call Yuan Zhu Min, or our native people in Taiwan. And it's a very nice-looking group, isn't it?
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Bill, you interviewed them, and we'll talk about that a couple of days from now.
It's great. I had a chance to talk with them, and they're not only good singers, but they have a great sense of humor and great personalities.
So today we're going to talk about the first group, that Seattle group. They look a little bit elderly, don't they?
Well, just define elderly.
Well, that's hard to define, but, you know, they still like to sing, and they still have a lot of enthusiasm, don't they?
Yeah, it is. You can see right in that picture there on page 34 the enthusiasm that they have singing. And this is great for everybody, for all of our listeners to realize, hey, you never stop doing this stuff. And actually, this kind of activity can keep you young.
Well, and music also brings joy and happiness usually. I like to listen to music and sing and play music. It gives you kind of joy in your heart, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it does. I mean, I know many times that I've listened to music to lift my spirits.
So this Seattle group, they're not just singing, but they're really belting out the music. When they belt out tunes with decades under its belt, what does that actually mean?
To belt out something means to sing it very loudly and enthusiastically. And actually, if you look at the picture, you can see it's a very apt description of these ladies.
Very elderly looking. Well, but what does it mean, you know, under their belt?
Well, when you have something under your belt, that means you have so much experience or background. So he's got 5 years under his belt.
But they have time, they have quite a few years of living under their belt, decades. That means that they've been living a long time. So they're elderly people.
Right. And it means that the group, it says the Seattle group, has decades under its belt as well. So that means that this group is not new. It's been around for many, many years.
Right. So we're going to read about that today. And we're going to take the first reading now on page 34.
sweet, sweet music. Find out about two different musical groups from opposite sides of the world. Seattle group belts out tunes with decades under its belt. Nothing interferes with the weekly rehearsal of the Seattle Shores Chorus, a female vocal group that dates to the early 1950s. One that still has a couple of members from the early days and would love to welcome new voices. Why do I do it? Because it's fun, said Opal Hicks, who started singing with the group when Harry Truman was president and the United States had only 48 states. Hicks was at the recent rehearsal as members mimicked animal noises in The Lion Sleeps Tonight and rocked with the rhythm of Beach Boys' Good Vibrations. Smile and sing like you mean it, director Bonnie Jean Massey reminded the 16 singers, later telling a reporter, "You never have a perfect performance. There's always something you can improve on." The women, ranging in age from 13 to nearly 90, have been polishing numbers for visits to senior centers and retirement homes. They do about two a month and are booked into 2014.
Okay, we start our reading with Nothing Interferes with the weekly rehearsal of the Seattle Shores Chorus. And what that means is when this group gets together to practice, nothing can get in the way, nothing can prevent them from doing what they need to do.
Okay, and the name of the group is, I think, from the location where they live in an area called Seattle Shores. Just like if you say, you know, Taiyabe City or something, they live on this area, probably just facing the ocean, Puget Sound. And it's a female group, and they started way back. They date back to early 1950s, so that is a long time for a group.
Right. This group is six decades old, so they have been around a very long time. And I want to point out that this one paragraph is actually one sentence.
It's so long. It's almost too long.
It's quite a long sentence. But we have a dash here that goes on to describe the female vocal group. It's a group that still has a couple of members from the beginning, from the 1950s. And they also would like to welcome some new voices. So it's not like they're exclusive and you have to be from the original group. They even have much younger people in their group.
I wonder how a younger person would feel, you know, going into that group if you're 13 or 15 or 20 and you're singing with 80 and 90 years old. It kind of seems a little strange, doesn't it?
Well, maybe you like to go with your grandmother.
Well, that's true, yeah. Well, it's nice that they can do that, I mean, because music is music, so it's not wrong, but it just seems a little unusual, doesn't it?
It does seem, I was kind of surprised when I read that part.
But you notice one thing that they asked this one lady, Opal Hicks, she said, "Why do you do it?" And what did she say?
Well, she just said, "Because it's fun." And I guess that's as good a reason as any to keep singing. I know that there's a video about this on YouTube if people are interested in watching it. And she says she's never going to stop going to these rehearsals. She's only not gone when she's been on vacation or when she's been sick. She doesn't see any reason to stop.
So it's fun. And it's kind of nice if you can even make your work fun sometimes or whatever you do. Because if it's hard and it's work, you get tired very easily. It's kind of fun talking to everybody and our students here in the classroom, isn't it?
Well, it is. And it's really refreshing to hear her say this, that she's mm-hmm. doing this thing for so long because it's fun. Too often we hear people say, well, I'm busy and this is so hard.
That's
and
true.
It's refreshing to hear that this woman is doing this thing for decades because it's fun. We give a little history
that's
here.
That's true. And sometimes, you know, when they talk about how long something has gone on, they refer to who was the president at the time. And you don't even remember what year, but we do that in a lot of different countries. I don't know, Bill, do you remember Harry Truman or not?
Well, I know of Harry Truman. I don't remember him. I wasn't born while he was there, but he was president from the end of World War II till the early 50s, I believe, 1952 or so. That gives people a point of reference, something like this.
That's right. Yes, and there was a time when the United States had only 48 states. How many states are there now?
Well, there are 50 states now, Doris, I believe.
Right. There are 50 states now, actually. I remember when two of those states became states.
Right. And so, what was the last two states?
Hawaii and Alaska.
And she knows her history pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
1959.
Mm-hmm. But this Opal Hicks, she was at the recent rehearsal, and what were they doing at that rehearsal? That's kind of funny. It sounds like fun.
They were mimicking. This is a great – actually, I like saying this word, mimic. It means that they were mimicking animal noises in The Lion Sleeps Tonight, which was a very popular song in the 1960s. And to mimic just means to copy the way that they're done, or to copy the way somebody talks, or some of the noises that they make. And usually you do it to amuse people, to make people laugh, or it can also be used to insult people.
You know, but that song, The Lion Sleeps Tonight, people still play it now
right.
and then.
I hear it on the radio sometimes.
Yeah.
It's still very, very popular. It's been popular for so many years. And,
right.
of course, they're doing it to add a new dimension to this song. So there's the vocals, the lyrics, but they're adding these sounds just to make it more interesting for the audience.
Well, but they actually, in the original song, they did have all those sounds in it, too. They're just copying the sound.
Right.
They're not making them up. They're just trying to copy the original one so they sound like that. Just like Bill likes to sound like Elvis Presley, right?
I mimic Elvis Presley.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're mimicking, and that's right. Okay. But they also have the rhythm of the Beach Boys. Now, do you remember hearing anything by the Beach Boys?
Oh, yes.
Sure.
I even went to one of their concerts.
Wow.
I love the Beach Boys.
Well, what kind of music did the Beach Boys sing?
Beach music.
Beach music, kind of.
Very popular music. And the song they're talking about here is Good Vibrations.
That's also a popular song still.
Yeah, and also surf songs. They had all these songs about surfing, surfing in the USA.
That's why I called it the Beach Boys.
Surf
right?
City, yeah.
Well, you know, if you want to, you can go to YouTube and these places and find some music about these. But it's a smile and sing it like you mean it. This is what their director says. And I think this is what all choir directors say to people. Sing it like you mean it. I think that's very important.
Yeah, I remember my choir director always saying, you should sing it like you mean it, and you should enjoy it while you do it, or no one else will enjoy it either.
That's right. That's very important.
That was very good advice.
You know, I'm wondering about that, Doris, because I know you've worked with many choirs, of course, our group, Heavenly Melody, over the years. And what's up with this smile thing? Does that impact the singers?
Well, I think it means to show expression on your face. And it looked like you're enjoying it. That's the smile part. But, you know, if you don't really mean it, then you can't sing it. So sometimes younger people haven't had enough experiences to sing some of these things, where these older ladies, they've gone through a lot, and they can. So they can really sing it like they mean it, you know, about hardships and trials and things like that.
And also sometimes I think people, especially like in choruses, are too busy trying to remember the words or something. And then you forget that people are watching you. And when you're so intent, we forget to smile. But it is important because then people react to that.
Well, this is a small group, like 16 singers, not like a great big choir. So it's very important that each one of them really show out the meaning of that song. But one thing I like they said here is that you have to remember that you never have a perfect performance. And every time something goes wrong, the people always in a group always feel, oh, that was so bad, it was no good. But that's not true. Nothing is perfect. Just enjoy it for what it is.
And what she's talking about is maybe somebody missed a note at a certain point.
Forgot the words.
Somebody maybe started just a little bit later than everybody else. And a lot of these mistakes that Bonnie Jean Massey is talking about, they're things the audience may not even be aware of.
That's true. And there's always something you can improve on. So whatever you're doing, this is not only good for music. It's good for public speaking. Oh, I didn't do so well in that speech. Well, do better next time. Don't worry about it. Isn't this principle good for everything?
It is good for everything. Otherwise, you put so much pressure on yourself that you don't enjoy your job. You don't enjoy whatever activity you're involved in. You know, I think I love our motto here at Studio Classroom is do your best.
Right.
You know, we don't expect perfection, we expect the best that you can do.
Well, so we can learn a lot from here besides music. But when you look at this group, it reminds me also of companies and all you work in, there's younger people just out of school. There's older people who have been there a long time. And everything we do, even socially, there's usually a large range of people, which is true in a family, too. And tell us more about that range of people here.
Well, this is where we see the great range in age from these women, 13 to nearly 90. That is an 80-year, my math right here, 80-year span. You know, that is a big range.
Right, and they have been polishing their numbers, we see, for some of their visits. And when you are polishing your number, you're just making it smoother, making it more attractive. We think of polishing furniture to clean off the dust and make it look really sharp. That's what they're doing with their songs.
Right. The numbers here doesn't mean numbers like 1, 2, 3, 4, but their songs, you say, they're polishing the songs that they sing. So this is a number. What, you know, it's not like a number, but it's a song, right?
Right.
They're polishing the songs that they sing. And where do they sing them usually?
Well, they sing them at senior centers and retirement homes. So mostly places where elderly people are living or that might come for a certain part of the day just to be with other people their age.
That's kind of like a social service that they do, isn't it?
Yes, and I think it's so interesting that they are booked into 2014. So you can tell that they're fairly popular, and they do like 2 a month. So it gives them, I think it keeps their momentum to keep practicing and try new things and keep improving. It's great.
And I think it's an encouragement to the people in the places where they go that they can see these people are older and they're having a good time, and that would encourage the people where they go.
And, you know, they're doing a good service because a lot of the people at these senior centers and retirement homes, they might be – they're fairly isolated from the rest of society, and so they're bringing a little bit of sunshine to the folks who are there.
Mm-hmm. And certainly from this photo, it looks like they're really singing it out like they really mean it, and according to this picture, don't you think?
I totally agree.
Right. So I think it's very interesting that there is this group, but there are other groups about that like this all over the world. So we're going to find out more about it. Let's read about this. It's quite different from everything that you might think about. So we say it's out of the box. Let's read that section.
Out of the box. This style of vocal harmony performed without instrument accompaniment is widely known as barbershop music, and women's groups have an organization of their own, Sweet Adelines International, founded in Oklahoma in 1945. Part of the fun, the singers say, is expanding their repertoire beyond traditional barbershop fare. Pop tunes, show tunes, old standards, and recent hits, as long as it can be arranged for 4-part harmony. The original Seattle chapter of Sweet Adelines was founded in 1950, chartered in 1953, and celebrated its 60th anniversary in May. Hicks was a newlywed when her husband took her to a barbershop concert. During intermission, a woman came on stage and said a woman's vocal group was being formed, giving a phone number that recruits could call. "My husband said, 'You should do that.' It was more his idea than mine," she said.
Okay, so what does out of the box actually mean to you?
Well, out of the box, you know, usually we do things in a certain set way, right? And so those kind of methods or styles that we say are inside, they're traditional. But if you think, we also use this phrase, think outside of
yes.
the box. So go outside and see, try new venues, new something, new styles of something.
Something that's not already packaged up, but something
right.
new, fresh.
Yeah, that's right. Here we see the first sentence in this last reading says, "This style of vocal harmony performed without instrumental accompaniment is widely known as barbershop music." So this style that this group mostly likes to use is called barbershop, an interesting name.
Right. So I wonder if all of their songs are without accompaniment, do you think?
It seems like they are.
And
a cappella. Remember that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are, for sure.
Yeah.
And remember that barbershop is a type of singing that goes back to the 1920s and 30s.
Right.
So it has a 4-voice combination. So it has to be broken up into four-part harmony.
I think the people in the South had a lot of old barbershop music, you know, and Wait Till the Sun Shines, Nelly, and The Stars Go Sweeping By, all these old songs that people used to sing. They made them in four parts. And they had a good time singing those, didn't they?
Yes, and in fact, you know, it's interesting. We think of a barbershop quartet. A lot of times we think of it as men. We see a picture there on page 35 in the upper right corner. But actually, so many of these groups are actually made up of women. It's very popular with women.
Yeah, there's one group called the Cordettes that sings like that. And they have a lot of good barbershop quartet music, too. There's different groups. And I guess they're mostly a cappella.
They would have to be, yeah. Yeah, barbershop is a cappella.
Right. So they don't need to take a piano or anything around with them or find one. And so that's kind of a nice thing to do. And they call it barbershop music. But this one here was organized in 1945. That's a long time ago.
That was the Sweet Adeline's international organization. And that's actually, it's a worldwide organization of women's singing groups. So, and the Seattle Shores Chorus is one of many, many groups that is actually part of this international organization. They're actually organized geographically. So there's like a Northwest region that they belong to.
And then we say that, see, that part of the fun, according to all the singers, is expanding their repertoire. Okay, and repertoire here means that it's all kinds of music. So all of the music, plays, dances that a person or group can perform. So they have a large repertoire, apparently, because if they're singing things like, you know, barbershop quartet music from the 1920s and 30s and then going up to the 60s to sing like The Lion Sleeps Tonight, and I'm sure they're singing even music newer than that, they have a large range of music to choose from.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, right here, after their repertoire, it says, beyond traditional barbershop fare, including pop tunes, so popular music, maybe even from recent years, and show tunes. Those are songs from, like, musical shows.
And then we see old standards, which would be the traditional barbershop songs, quartet songs, and then also then recent hits. So as long as it can be arranged for four-part harmony.
Well, I think that's good because, you know, this group has to practice all the time. And you really get tired of something that sounds just the same. So the variety is good for them, and it's also good for the audience, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They really do have a large range in their group, not only of the age of the people involved, but in terms of the different kinds of music they perform.
And when there's a certain group that's formed from another group, they call them the chapters. It's like a book which chapter it is. And the Seattle chapter means a Seattle organization of this group, you know, was founded in 1950. And then it was chartered. Now, what's the difference in being founded and being chartered?
Well, the group got together and said, okay, we're going to be a singing group in 1950. And then chartered means that you're like officially accepted into the international organization, and you have met all of the requirements that the Sweet Adeline's International had set up.
Yeah, that's right. And they just had their 60th anniversary back in May of this year, just about 6 months ago. So they really have been going quite a while, too.
Right. Well, in fact, look at this. When Hicks started this, she was a newlywed, just got married. And did her husband encourage her?
He sure did. First they went to a barbershop concert together, and they had an intermission, and a woman came on stage and said, oh, we're looking for new members, you know, and gave her phone number and that people that were interested, those are the recruits. So she was recruiting, could call and say that they were interested in singing with the group, and her husband encouraged her and said, call them. So actually, he was very encouraging.
He probably enjoyed the music too. Huh?
Yeah.
I'm sure he did enjoy the music, and he'd be excited to know that his wife could be involved with the group. And she even says that it was her husband that really had more of this idea than herself.
So she started right away when she first got married, and that's a long time ago, and she's still singing in the group. So it really worked for her. And I think she's helping people that way. They feel you're doing something for other people too, Bill.
Yeah, not only is she having fun, but they are helping people. We mentioned some of the places that they're singing at. I just wanted to mention one word here for our listeners. They may not all of them might be familiar with that word, intermission. It's an older concept. We used to have breaks right in the middle of concerts or even movies. We used to go to the movie theater, and there would be a 10 or 15-minute break right in the middle of the movie. We don't have intermissions anymore.
Well, we do at concerts, though.
We do at concerts, yes. Sometimes they have intermission at concerts, right. Well, we want to have just a very short time. Just play a little bit of barbershop music before we close.
All aboard, all aboard, all aboard for Alabama. When the midnight choo-choo leaves forever, Alabama, Alabama, I'll be right there. I've got my fare, my fare. Conductor, I'll grab him by the collar and I'll holler, Alabama, that's where you stop your train that takes me back again, down home where I remain, where money land, I will be right there with bells when that old conductor yells, all aboard, all aboard for Alabama.
Well, you might want to listen to more of this kind of music. You can find it on iTunes, and you can find it on YouTube, and you might even get a little group going yourself sometime. But come back tomorrow, and we'll discuss this more. So thanks for being here today, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.